بعدها بتايز. ها؟ Hey, you can make money off my name, make it, okay? I'm gonna take a shower. Hey, wanna help me off with these?
Hello and welcome to Frame Rate. My name is Gary Yarbrough, and this is a podcast about taking on perspective taking and making peace with opinion pieces. I would like to bring on guests with interesting perspectives and review topics that might be relevant to them. And I'm very, very lucky to have one of the most distinguished guests I can think of tonight, and that's my father, Jim Yarbrough. Thank you for joining, Dad.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Looking forward to the experience here.
So I wanted to have you on because I'm really honored to chat with you, perhaps a reoccurring segment called Lego Sequels with My Father. Where we discuss these legacy sequels that you know, are so often prevalent in the Hollywood these days, because everything's based on IP and everyone's digging up some of these old movies, and it's cool to talk to you about you know, your experience when these were new. So today we're talking about the Rocky franchise that has now become the Creed franchise, with Creed 3 recently in three theaters and making a pretty big splash, having now, I think, opened up on the biggest opening release of any of the Rocky franchise movies. So it's pretty exciting and pretty interesting to reflect on. So I want to start by a very general kind of review, or a very general question to you, which is like, what does this franchise mean to you? What does what is the Rocky story kind of mean to Jim Yarbrough?
For whatever happened, they all seem to come at different transitions, important transitions in my life. And having been a kind of an athlete, I always enjoy the competition. But for Rocky as a character, one is Sylvester Stallone and I are the same age. So when Rocky came out, we were at the same age, and Rocky's been a character who demonstrates courage and self-mastery, willpower and discipline, agency, and hope and compassion. And those are all values and virtues that I honor. And the first one came out in late 76. At that time, it was a big transition for me, because real short story is I had been out of the Air Force for 3 years, and I was the managing director of a relatively large trucking company in the Panama Canal Zone, servicing all the military.
You have a good memory that it came out late 76. I have the Wikipedia pulled up here so I can remember the years of each of the movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm happy to hear. Well, so yeah, tell me about what happened in late 76.
Well, I think I saw it in January, just after having run this company for 3 years and taken from a bankrupt company my father had invested in, and we set up a new company with structure, and I was the managing director, vice president. But under the Panama law, you had to have a Panamanian board of directors, and we had done that with a man, his initials were RAT, truly, and he became the president. I was the vice president. His daughter was the secretary. Well, I walked into the office one day after 3 years, and we had turned it around and made a profitable company. And there were a couple of guardia, Panamanian policemen, there saying that I had been thrown out of the country, out of the company, because the board of directors had issued themselves a bunch of new shares and took control of the company and threw me out. So they led me away in handcuffs. And for over 9 months, I was out of the company, because at that time, even though it was in the Canal Zone and there were U.S. courts in the Canal Zone, the U.S. was negotiating a treaty with Panama, and so the courts were closed. And so my case could not be heard. And so for like 9 months, I would try to go in and work with lawyers to get this overthrown. And finally, the short story is that finally a, a U.S. judge came in, heard the case, realized what had happened, and reinstated me. But the whole time was out of work, and someone was running my company and mismanaging it. So when I saw that first Rocky movie,
when you say this whole time, that was over the case of a year or 2 years?
Nine months. From the time I was led away in handcuffs to the time I was reinstituted as the controlling managing director of the company. Wow. And so that, you know, the Rocky movie was someone who had to demonstrate courage against sort of all odds, and then demonstrate discipline and perseverance and realize, okay, just keep patient, keep plugging. And so, you know, especially the whole exercise scenes that are run by the theme songs and all, those became inspirational. And that first Rocky movie really talked to me at an important time. So
yeah, again, I mean, people I think have paid homage to it and satirized it, but like I'd be hard pressed to think of a genuine, like, solid montage, like a hype up kind of pump you up montage. I mean, Eye of the Tiger, it's the quintessential version of that, right?
Exactly.
Like, so,
and in fact, that theme kind of through all the Rocky movies, where they would have a long 3 to 5 minute exercise scene where he was really exercising all to the theme songs. You know, those have been my sort of workout songs and scenarios for the last 40 years or 30 years anyway. So.
So I'm talking to the right person, is what you're saying.
Well, actually, that set off my love for the Rocky movies. Now, I have to say, sort of a footnote, that his other movies, where he was in The Expendables or he was in John Rambo, didn't speak to me like his character, Rocky character, because Rocky had heart and courage, and he didn't have, he was compassionate. He wasn't this vengeful, blow everybody up type guy. He was somebody who had to dig deep down and find the strength within, and the attitude to go on in face of a lot of very difficult odds.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into it a little bit. Let's start talking about Rocky One.
His name is Sylvester Stallone. He's the star of a new film called Rocky. He's been described as tough, handsome, talented, sexy, sensitive, dynamic, brilliant. He's been compared to Nicholson, De Niro, and Brando, but he is Rocky. He's the man who could be loved by only one woman, because somehow she gets beneath the pain. He's every nobody who ever needed somebody.
Rocky, do you believe that America is the land of opportunity?
Yeah.
Let's kind of get some perspective. When did you first hear about the story of Sylvester Stallone, or was this your introduction to Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
The first Rocky movie? I think it was a lot of people's, right? Yeah,
it was. And that was his really first movie. You know, he wrote and directed the movie and wrote the screen script. And so it was all his first efforts. And so I can't remember. I was living in the Canal Zone as a contractor at the time, but we had U.S. theaters, and I forget how it was.
The Panama Canal Zone.
Panama Canal Zone. Yeah, I don't recall how I initially heard about it, but it became such a big splash early that I was, when I did go see it, it really, I think I saw it 2 or 3 times in the following 9 months. Yeah,
of course.
So it made a big impact, and it was inspirational to me at a very important time.
Right, and Rocky also kind of represented, at least in the first movie, is not down on his luck, but like he was a working class guy,
right?
He was punching, frozen at the meat, what do they call it? Meat hanger at the butcher's, right? He was punching beef cow carcasses and things like that. So, frozen pigs, you know. So what did that speak to you at the time when you were maybe fighting for your own, fairness and kind of coming out from that challenge?
Well, I never related to hitting the cow carcasses, but
just being an underdog.
Well, an underdog, and we were both 29 years old at the time and fairly good shape. And then seeing what it took for him to get in shape and the mental attitude he had to take to really focus, that was really inspirational.
Mm-hmm. So you never got tired of those montage songs every morning on your on your elliptical. All right. So in the first Rocky movie, I wanted to go back to the story a bit more. So of the actual story of Sylvester Stallone, because I think it's very relevant and interesting. That's what I find really interesting when I think of the Rocky movies. But for me, it's kind of hand in hand of the retroactive story. You know, I think of Rocky and I was introduced to it already knowing that it became a franchise that and already knowing that Sylvester Stallone, you know, was a megastar. And that he won the, you know, Academy Award for it and everything. But when did you, and I know you know a little bit about this story of like the background behind Rocky and how it was made and Sylvester Stallone's, because, you know, it's not just the inspiration behind Rocky, but it's also the inspiration behind Sylvester Stallone making this movie. So, yeah, what's your kind of connection to that story?
Well, again, this came out in late 76, which was the 200th anniversary of the U.S. And at that time, Rocky himself, Sylvester Stallone, was a gym rat, a little bit of a boxer, but more of a weightlifter. Mm-hmm. But what really appealed to him is there was a fighter named Chuck Webner, who was pretty much a nobody, but he was given a chance to fight Muhammad Ali. And it just resonated with Sylvester Stallone saying, wait a minute, here's a nobody get to fight the best fighter in the world on sort of the birthday of the United States giving. And so it was like, I want to write a story where this nobody gets the same opportunity. And so he crafted the personality of Rocky. I have no idea and don't think that the personality of Sylvester Stallone is really identical to the Rocky, but he was, as you say, Rocky was kind of a very common guy. He comes off of being with a genuine heart, but not the smartest, you know, light bulb in the case. And so anybody's given a chance, unusually, against the champion, who was a champion who was, by all rights and reputation,
Apollo Creed,
the very best in the world, Apollo Creed. And so the whole show, if you rewatch it again, you know, Apollo Creed comes in on fanfare and music, and he's dressed in red and white striped pants, and it's a big theater production because he thinks it's going to be a rollover, and Roxy just kind of standing there on the other side of the ring looking at this in awe, and then the fight goes on, and it's a brutal fight. But the whole thing about Rocky also is he's a lumbering left-hander, and he's powerful, but he's not particularly a good boxer. But he refuses to give up. He takes, and the thing is, like, feel no pain. He just keeps going. And so nobody expected him to do some well. And at the beginning, when he was trying to tell friends why he should even do this, because they thought he'd get killed, he says, my whole thing, and I'm going to do the best I can. And if I'm standing at the end of 12 rounds, I'll know I succeeded, regardless of what the event outcome was. So that's the background. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I find that to be one of the most important parts of the Rocky story is he doesn't win the final fight. And what's so interesting is that you kind of lose sight of that when you think of Rocky, because, you know, you don't think of Rocky as the first Rocky movie. You think of Rocky as like this huge franchise that has kind of spun out like the prototypical sports movie, you know, underdog sports movie. Where you have someone, you lose the first fight, you lose the first game or whatever, and then by the end of the movie, you're facing your rival again, and you win. And so when I saw Rocky when I was a kid, not like kind of thinking I knew the story, and then like finally kind of sitting down to actually watch through the first movie, at the end, I was actually surprised because I was like, oh, wait, he doesn't win?
Yeah, he doesn't win.
Yeah. he wins by standing his ground.
Yes.
He wins by
lasting the whole round.
Not getting knocked out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what's very interesting is as you go through the rest of the franchise, you kind of lose sight of that. It's just interesting that it changes, you know, it's that first story is very subtle and humble, and it's not as flashy as the rest of the franchise. But what's very interesting is it's probably not as, you know, Sylvester Stallone's life wasn't flashy yet. So,
oh, exactly. And interesting too, because Apollo Creed wasn't really a villain. Mm-hmm. He was a
rival,
had a high reputation and regarded as a good fighter. Mm-hmm. Now, all the rest of the opponents that Rocky fought and the rest of the Rocky series were all kind of villains. They had an all negative aspect to them. And Rocky was always considered an underdog, but still it was against sort of the good versus evil.
Right. Yeah. And again, that kind of paved the way for this kind of cartoonish action franchise that goes into 5-6 movies, and you forget the kind of humble roots that it came from. So it's interesting to reflect back on that first Rocky movie.
What was done so well too is because there were a lot of boxing movies before that, but the boxing movies, unless they were showing films of real boxing matches, it was orchestrated differently. But Rocky took the time to really do a lot of research and planning and preparation with the boxing scenarios. And the boxing scenarios tell a story in themselves. I mean, I could watch those fights over and over again, and I get so emotional when I watch them because I'm so energized and activated. And so, because they're really good. But it was so well done. In fact, I was reading recently where he broke a lot of norms in the way that they were filming, and is now, that's the way most boxing movies are filmed. But it was novel at the time.
Yeah, it was very breakthrough, I think.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Well, no, I wanted to just kind of zoom out a little bit and talk about Rocky II and just kind of his second chance back at fighting Apollo Creed.
This guy just don't want to win, you know. He wants to bury you. He wants to humiliate you. He wants to prove to the whole world that it was nothing but some kind of a freak the first time out.
Rocky, his whole life was a million to one shot, but he's about to show the world he's one in a million.
Why don't you stand up and fight this guy hard like you've done before? That was beautiful.
Rocky II, the story continues.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind marrying me very much.
I do.
Thanks.
Not an easy fight, but there was so much interest in it that Apollo Creed and his team were businessmen, and they thought, okay, we'll do this differently, and we'll take advantage of now all the great hubbub that was created. And so that's why they fought that second fight. And Apollo Creed, again, was not an evil guy, and it was a great fight. But at that time, it was, that came out 3 years later at the end of 79. And I saw it in 80. It was another transition period because my wife at the time and my 4-year-old daughter moved to Florida because my wife was going to study for a PhD. And that was a time when my daughter left and all. And so it was another transitional time because I didn't know that they weren't coming back. So for me, Rocky winning again, finally, was another uplifting time that kind of buoyed me through a difficult transition in my own life.
So this was mid-79.
I saw it in the beginning of 80.
Right. Okay. And how long after your wife and daughter leaving was that?
They left in June of 80. So it was just at the same time, really.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, it's important. It's interesting to think back on like what these movies meant to us at the time. Mm-hmm. I've definitely had interesting times and tumultuous times over the last few years where certain movies hit me really hard. And I know I'll take that with me for a long time. So interesting. I wonder what I'll think back 40 years from now on moves I've had or things like that.
And for me, I've always used, whether it's movies or books, tried to grab whether value and that provided me some insight or inspiration, and use that as sort of fuel when you're going through something.
Right, we're all heroes of our own story, and watching someone go through their hero's journey can you know help ourselves out. That's why I think stories are so important, fiction or nonfiction, you know, fiction based on real life. It's all helpful to understand and kind of make sense of and inspire and help us to keep going. That's part of why I wanted to start this and talk to you about Rocky, but also just talk about to people about their lives and also kind of movies and TV shows that have influenced them. So, okay. So Rocky II, he is Apollo Creed again.
Yes.
And he wins this time.
Yes.
So this is kind of the Rocky formula I was talking about.
Yeah. And Rocky at that time becomes the heavyweight champion of the world. So
another difference that's between Rocky and Rocky II is that it was a huge hit, right? So now the movie front studios have kind of come in. They're giving Sylvester Stallone double his budget. And now they have their hands on, you know, okay, make this a Hollywood story.
Yeah. You may know back to Rocky I, Sylvester Stallone was basically more or less broke at the time, a nobody, not in the acting business. He was playing some local theater, and he wrote the script and he took it to some different studios and they liked it. And they said, I'll give you $100,000 for the script, but he would not sell it unless he could be involved as a primary character and help direct it. And since he was a nobody, nobody would take that chance on him. But eventually one studio did. And so he stuck to his guns. He had no reputation that preceded him as an actor or as a director or anything, or as a scriptwriter. But somebody took a chance on him and the rest is history.
Wow. Okay. So the first movie came out, he wrote it, he wanted to direct it and star in it. They were like, no, we'll buy it from you.
Yeah, they offered him $100,000, and he had no money, and he turned it down.
So he had a lot of belief in himself and in Rocky.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the character, and he really wanted the character.
So he didn't direct the first movie.
Yeah, he did.
It says here on that John Avildsen directed it, that Sylvester Stallone directed Rocky 2, 3, 4.
Right.
So I think what happened was that they were probably like, look, we'll let you star in it. But then as soon as it happened, he's like, no, now I'm directing the sequels.
Yeah.
And so two, three, four. Yeah,
exactly. He became a moneyed prize interest at that point.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And 2, 3, 4 starts to reflect his own life, going from 76, the first movie, to now 79 Rocky 2, 82 Rocky 3, 85 Rocky 4. This is Sylvester Stallone really solidifying himself as a superstar in the 80s.
Yes.
And one thing that you notice in those Rocky movies is he becomes a lot more cut.
Oh yeah, in fact, moving on to Rocky 3, Sylvester's only 5'9". He looks like he's so much bigger. He was like 5'9", 190 something in the first movie. But in Rocky 3, he was really cut. He was really cut. And that came out in late 82. At the same time, my family didn't come back and we were separated, but I got really and really involved in personal development and in all sorts of, from physical efforts and things like that. That was the best shape he's ever been in, if you look at his body in Rocky 3 movie. But myself, I was involved in all kinds of different physical things. And it was just, here I am, certainly not marrying him and Rocky, but just sort of using that as inspiration to get my life kind of together. And you may know that I got very, very involved at that time in personal development. And that's where I met one of our mentors, Dr. Jeff Alexander, who was a sparring partner in Rocky III. And so when I met Jeff right after I'd seen the movie, that was even more impressive. And Jeff became a really, really good friend of mine. And to see him.
Sparring partner with Sylvester to help him get in shape or be prepared for Rocky III. Wow.
Yes. Interesting. Jeff tells it was And Sylvester's boxing skills greatly improved, but he said, and even the sparring, said Sylvester took some cheap shots sometimes.
That's great. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, he had to stay on top, right? He was.
Yep.
He was the movie star.
And again, that time he was his opponent at that time was Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T, who was another bad guy. You know.
Yeah. So who came first, the Clubber Lang or Mr. T? Like, did Clubber Lang put Mr. T on the map, or was Mr. T starting to be this kind of celebrity? So they brought him, introduced him.
Yeah, Mr. T already had, was part of a TV series. He was kind of a group with kind of special forces, and he was A-team. The A-team, exactly. He was the big muscle guy in that. So he already had a kind of a reputation, because he apparently was, they pulled him out. Hollywood found him when he was what do you call one of the guys who's at the bar who protects people? Bouncer. He was a bouncer at a bar in Chicago, and that's how he was found and then taken into the A team.
It's so interesting how many stars. That's the story. I think Vin Diesel has the same story, maybe a couple others, but yeah, I guess when you're that big, it's an easy job to be a bouncer, right? Like
Clubber Lang's scary.
Every good looking movie star has been a waiter. Every big action star has been a bouncer at some point. So so Rocky 1 loses to Apollo Creed. Rocky 2 beats Apollo Creed. Are they friends at the end of Rocky 2?
Yeah, they are. Are
they friends because at like the very end, because he beats him, he earns his respect?
They have a lot of mutual respect, because they realize that it wasn't a fluke that he did so well. I mean, they have very different styles, because Carl Weathers, who played Apollo Creed, was a professional athlete. He was a linebacker for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, he, you know, good looking guy, really cut, good athlete. Mm-hmm. And you can see in the first Rocky movie, his boxing skills were a lot better. Rocky II, you could see Rocky II had come along with his boxing skills. In Rocky III, what happened is, and Mick, who was Rocky's he was his trainer, he dies.
He holds the frozen meat carcasses for Rocky.
Well, no, that was Paulie. That was his brother. I'm sorry. That was his brother-in-law. Okay. But Mick was the old guy who was his trainer. And he had trained him even before Rocky became a professional fighter in this gym. But he was his mentor and his trainer. And he dies in Rocky III.
Now, when we fought, you had that eye of the tiger, man, the edge. And now you got to get it back. And the way to get it back is to go back to the beginning. You know what I mean?
United Artists and Chartoff Winkler proudly present Rocky III.
The worst thing happened to you that could happen to any fighter, you got civilized.
Get out of here with you!
The truth is, we both started out on the same corner, and I got lucky with my life, and it's driving you nuts.
Philadelphia salutes its favorite son, Rocky Balboa.
Why don't you tell all these nice folks why you've been ducking me?
This guy is a wrecking machine.
You know, you've got a big mouth.
Why don't you come out and close it, Balboa? Come on.
I want to fight this guy.
Rocky, you can't beat this guy, because he has heart and he has nothing to lose, and he's an animal. I mean, Clubber Lang was basically played that part pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so Rocky III, or Mick dies, and one of the big powerful scenes is Mick has a heart attack right before Rocky goes out to fight. And so when he comes in, he's dying, and he's laying down, and Mick says, "What happened?" And he's barely conscious. And he says, "Did you win?" And Rocky lies. "Yeah." He says, "It's okay. We did it." But Rocky lost that fight.
So he needed to redeem the lie by actually winning.
Yeah, by actually coming back. And it was amazing.
So Mick was the one with the hat, right?
No, that was Paulie. That was the brother-in-law. Paulie was the sort of the guy who had never had anything nice to say about anybody.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So that's kind of it seems like there's not in every one of these movies, but this kind of emotional heart in the middle of the movie that really make things get serious.
Well, that's why Rocky became such a cult hero, in the sense he wasn't just one of these, like a John Rambo, a blazing guy. He
had heart.
Persevere, he had heart. There was always a great love story between he and Adrian, mm-hmm. Paulie's sister. And he brought Paulie along, and Paulie was kind of he was never had a nice thing to say to anybody. And he was a racist, and he was just always complaining, but he was the brother-in-law. And so Rocky brought him along, gave him a job. He was helped kind of on his crew.
So then what's when does Apollo Creed fight Clubber Lang?
Well, in Rocky IV.
Does Apollo Creed, what's Apollo Creed up to in Rocky III? He's just helping Rocky?
Yeah, out? He's not really involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't the skirmish fight at the end of Rocky III?
You're right. He comes in and takes Mick's place, who died when Rocky lost the first fight, and helps train Rocky for the rematch with Clubber Lang.
Got it. So he's retired, but in Rocky's corner.
Yes.
For the end of the movie, for Rocky to defeat Clubber Lang.
Right, right.
Wow. And so this is also like early 80s. Clubber Lang brings some street flair to it, a bit more diversity, a bit more excitement. And like you said, he's in A-Team. He was popularized. I think A-Team probably had toys and stuff. This after Star Wars had figured out that the way to make movies successful was to sell toys for them?
Sure, because Star Wars came out, I think, the same time, early, the first Rocky era, I think. I forget what year it came out, but yes.
77, the second one would have been 80, so they would have been well into the figured out the toys thing. So
yeah, I was a little older, so I didn't get into toys, but certainly I remember all those toys, all those those figurines,
and exactly.
Mr. T was definitely one of them.
Yeah. All right. So Rocky 3, 82, he beats Mr. T at the end.
Yes.
You own you already own a sports equipment company?
Not at that time. I'm still in Panama.
But you're into self-development. You're
very much self-development. Yeah. In fact, yeah.
And rebounding kind of from your family leaving and all that.
Yeah. And then in Rocky 4, and that comes out late 85. Mm-hmm. That's when I met your mom. Your brother was only 1 year old. And so that's also when I had been so involved in the self-development movement and been going to seminars in the States. That's when I brought both Jeff Alexander and Tony Robbins to Panama. So that was a really transitional critical time. Yep, in 85. Wow.
That was the epic part one of my first episode of Legacy Sequels of My Father, going over Rocky 1, 2, and 3, and going over all my dad's life experiences along the way. Next episode, we're going over Rocky 4, the big epic match between Rocky and Ivan Drago, and then Rocky 5 and Rocky Balboa, and then we'll be going on in the last episode to the Creed series, Creed 1, 2, and then the big one of the year, Creed 3, which really sparked the inspiration through going through this whole franchise. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it and hope that you follow along with us as we go through this legacy sequel with my father.